to drive some big stake in the ground and put yourself on a great hill on the election of God and sit up there and condemn everybody else who doesn't understand that. I think if you truly understand the doctrine of election, you're going to be humbled by it, not made proud by it. I think if you've been made proud by this, then you've missed the whole point. I think it's a humbling thing, and I think if you're in a church where this is not taught or where there seems to be a resistance to it, you need to humble yourself and be meek and be gracious and celebrate the glory of God and His electing grace in your own life and do the best you can to live your Christian life in that environment. And when given the opportunity, speak to it, point people in the direction of the Word of God. But don't make this some issue that you're going to split a church or create conflict. Understand this, that people are the product of their teaching, and they're where they are for a reason. Somebody took them there. And most people aren't in a position to move a whole congregation in another direction. It can be done, but it needs to be done at a leadership level in a gracious, patient way.
By teaching the Word of God.
By teaching the Word of God from the verses in the text so that the Word does its work.
Right. Good advice. John, we're almost out of time. One last question before we go. Some might think of the doctrine of election as a cold concept of merely intellectual interest, but there are practical ramifications for this doctrine. Let's get really practical. Does this doctrine help a person who has just lost his job or a mother whose child has died or children who suffer because their parents are getting a divorce?
Well, of course it does, because if you understand that God is sovereign in choosing His own, and this is the thing to say, He has chosen not just their justification, not just their regeneration, their justification. He's chosen their sanctification and their glorification. Everything then that goes on in this life is part of His sanctifying work in those whom He has chosen. That's why we can count it all joy when to fall into various trials, because we know those trials are God's tools by which He works His own divine ends for our good. The 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, I rejoice in persecution, suffering, distress, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God is sanctifying me through this. Peter says, after you've suffered a while, the Lord make you perfect. So I think when you understand that God is unfolding His sovereign purpose in the fullness of salvation, all the way from regeneration, justification, through sanctification to glorification, then you can rejoice in it all, because it is all what Romans 8:28 says, God working things together for that glorious end to those that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. Some years ago,